can see me on MyBoard TV yet, or?
No, I haven't logged
into it. Oh, you didn't log into it yet. Yeah, you just check. I'm sure I'm online. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jan Balava Ir Parakhari Gopi Jan Balava Ir Parakhari Nandana, Rajajano Randana, Yasoda Nandana, Rajajano Randana, Sabona Tira, Manachalte. Yamuna te Ravana chalte Jai Hurad Madhava Kunya Viharate Jai Hurad Madhava Kunya Viharati Nopi Jana Pala Uba Yiri Balad Haute Nopi Jana Pala Uba Yiri Balad Haute Nopi Jana Pala Uba Iri Vadadha Bodhi
Gopi Jana Vallabha Iri Vadadha
Yasura Nandana Vumbraja Jana Ranjana Yasura Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Te Ravana Chaudi Yamuna Te Ravana Chaudi Jai Hurada Madhava Kunya Viharuti Radha Madhava Kunja Viharati Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravacharya Asta Teta Sitashi Shimad His Divine Grace of Ayachananada Bhaktivananda Gosami Mahashila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Nam Acharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Purem Se Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shri Prasiti Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govardhana Sayam Kunda. Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturnam Kijai, Navadeep Dham Kijai, Jagadasami Kijai, Yamadamai Kijai, Shimadalasi Devi Kijai, Samveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari. All glories to the symbol of devotees. All glories to the symbol of devotees. All glories to the symbol of devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Gaur Premananda. I liked your outfit yesterday better.
Oh, no, it was after an excursion today.
Oh, I see, because I like the tie-in jackets much cleaner and neater. Okay, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 10, Text 70. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Vidani Asya Harehe Swa Maya Vidam Pavanasya Rilokam Atmanaha Viryani Gitani Rishivir Jagat Guror Lokam Punanani Aparam Vadami Kim. Okay. Evam Vidanyasya Harer Swamaya. Sha Harer Swamaya. Vidam Vamanasya Nri Lokam Atmanaha. Slower. Viryani Gitan Rishibir Jagat Kuror. Lokam Punan Punananya Param Vadami Kim. Alright, I'll do it a different melody. Evam vidanyasya harer swamaya. Vidam bhamanasya nrilokam atmanaha. Viryani gittani rishibir jagat kuror. Lokam punananya param vadami kim. Evam vidanyasya harer swamaya. Vidam bananasya nrilokam atmanaha. Viryani gittani rishibir jagat guror. Lokam punananya param vadami kim. Was it right?
Evam
Evam Vadani.
Evam Vadani.
In this way.
In this way.
Asha.
Asha.
Of Krishna.
Of Krishna.
Hare.
Hare.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Swamaya.
Swamaya.
By his transcendental potencies.
By his transcendental potencies.
Vidam Vamanasya. Acting like an ordinary human. Rilokam, within human society. Atmanaha,
of him.
Viryani, transcendental activities. Gitani, narrations. Rishabhihi, by great saintly persons. Jagat Goroho, of the Supreme Master.
Of the Supreme Master.
Lokam.
Lokam.
All the planetary systems.
All the planetary systems.
Punanani.
Punanani.
Purifying.
Purifying.
Aparam.
Aparam.
What else?
What else?
Vadami Kim.
Vadami Kim.
Can I say?
Can I say?
Translation. The Lord Shri Krishna appeared as a human being, yet he performed many uncommon and wonderful pastimes by his own potency. How can I say more about his activities than what has already been said by great saintly persons? Everyone can be purified by his activities simply by hearing about them from the right source. So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic literatures fully explain that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in human society as an ordinary human being, but acts very uncommonly for the well-being of the entire world. One should not be influenced by the illusory energy and think Lord Krishna to be an ordinary human being. Those who really seek the absolute truth come to the understanding that Krishna is everything, Vasudeva, Sarvamiti. Such great souls are very rare. Nonetheless, if one studies the entire Bhagavad Gita as it is, Krishna is very easy to understand. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is trying to make Krishna known all over the world as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishnas, too, Bhagavan, Swayam. If people take this movement seriously, their lives as human beings will be successful. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. So, evam vidanyasya hare sumaiya vidam vamanasya nilakam atmana viryani gittani rishi vir jagat kuror lokam punananya param vidami kim. So, om ganatimadandasya gananjana shakaya chachurum viditam yena tasmai shigurve namaha. So, how do we know that Krishna is not an ordinary person? Do you have any ideas, Keshav? How?
He did looks up lots of tricks like killing the demons.
Well, I can kill demons too.
No, I'm doing demons that way at that time.
What?
not demons, like, no.
What if I had a gun? I could kill them.
There were no guns.
There were no guns.
No, no,
but now I could kill those demons.
Obviously.
He
killed him with his.
What else did he do?
He lifted up the Govardhan
Hill. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Lift up Govardhan Hill. What did he do in the Bhagavad Gita?
He said the whole Bhagavad Gita. Oh, he also showed his universal form.
Universal form. So Prabhupada would say if some bogus incarnation wants to declare himself to be God, we should ask him to show his universal form. Because people are sometimes... Well, it's become a turkey. So, anyway, so... So there's many people who declare themselves to be God, and they don't have the qualities of God. In addition to the universal form, in addition to lifting up Govardhan Hill, there's actually six qualities that Krishna has. What are the six qualities of Bhagavan?
All knowledge,
yeah, well, let's deal with each one. He's full of knowledge, complete knowledge. That means, what does it mean, complete knowledge?
He knows everything and anything.
And also everything past, present, and future. So he knows what you're going to be when you grow up. Why don't you ask him?
Ask Krishna.
So he knows what choices you're going to make in life. He knows everything.
I'm not qualified enough to talk to Krishna.
That's right. So he knows who you were in your last life. He knows every single atom, where every little... Can you imagine having that much knowledge? I mean, you have problems learning a few verses in the Bhagavad Gita, right?
Yep.
But Krishna knows every single atom. An atom is so small that you could fit millions of them on the head of a pin. Isn't that amazing? And Krishna knows where every one of them is, all over the universe, all over every universe. He knows all that. That's pretty good. All right, what's another quality of Bhagavan?
Beauty.
Oh, beauty. All right, let's do beauty first. So he's beautiful. He's so attractive, like Prabhupada would say, that if you have another candidate for God, you should put him up. In other words, present him, and then we'll judge him against Krishna. Krishna is so beautiful that even his other incarnations, like Mahavishnu, want to see him. When did that happen? What happened? There was a. I'll give you a hint. That's right. There was a Brahmin sons who were dying right after they were born, and then
Arjuna vowed to protect them, or he would kill himself.
Yeah, went to kill himself, and then went Krishna, and Arjuna went where?
To Mahavishnu.
To Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu said, "I just wanted to see you." So even Mahavishnu wants to see Krishna. That's how it works.
But wasn't the Mohini form?
No, the form of Krishna is most beautiful. But the Mohini form even bewildered. Thank you for bringing that up. Even bewilders Lord Shiva. You know what happened? Once upon a time, when Lord Shiva heard about the Mohini incarnation, he said, "I would like to see that form." And Krishna said, "Really? You think it's a good idea?" So he manifested this Mohini incarnation, and she was playing tennis or something like that. And then, anyway... And then became naked. And then what did Lord Shiva do? He started chasing her. He forgot all about poor Parvati. And he started chasing her all over, round the world. That means he became very agitated, seeing her very attractive. So Krishna is the most attractive. So we did beautiful. What else?
Okay.
We did knowledge, beautiful. What else?
Fame.
Even the atheists talk about God. He's so famous that even people who don't believe in God, they say, "Oh, God forbid," or something like that. So everybody knows about God. I would say he's the most person who most people know about. And of course, Krishna, as Krishna appears as God, he's the most famous, most attractive. So what else do we have?
Strength.
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 I was thinking about something. Maybe he's...
And how do you prove Krishna's strength? What does he do?
He lifted up Govardhan.
What else does he do?
Killed the demons.
That's good too. What else does he do? The Because you hold up all the universes as a Seshanag incarnation, and universes appear to him to be like what?
A dot.
Like mustard seeds. Like if you had to hold up one mustard seed on your head, you wouldn't even feel it. So Krishna is so strong. Just like there's this person in the mythology, he's called Atlas. You've heard of Atlas before?
Yeah, no, yeah, he has to hold up the sky.
And he just like gets tired after a while holding up the sky. But Krishna is so strong, he doesn't even get tired. Holding up Govardhan Hill, for example, the coward boys,
7 days,
and the coward boys were thinking, and Nanda Maharaj was thinking, he needs a little rest. And what happened?
They put up
their sticks. And then the hill began to shake at a certain point. Why is the hill shaking? Was Krishna getting tired?
No, because Radharani was there.
Because Krishna was looking at the gopis.
Yeah.
And they thought, Krishna's getting tired from holding up this hill. So he's the strongest. What's another quality of Krishna? Renunciation. So, can you prove that Krishna is very renounced?
When, for example, when he killed a fool of Radharani, I think...
Krishna not renounced from Radharani, that's for sure.
No, and then when he killed the bull demon, he went and made his own...
That's nice, but it doesn't prove that Krishna is all renounced. No, because Krishna is always attached to the presence of Vrindavan. What about Ranchorji? Everybody know who Ranchorji is?
No.
Krishna was fighting with Jarasandha. And he defeated him many times. But then Krishna got tired of fighting with him because it was too much trouble. So he ran away. And so for a Kshatriya, that's very embarrassing to run away from the battlefield. Actually, like Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, you know what Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita? He says, for one who has been honored, what is worse than death? Dishonor is worse than death. Because someone is very proud, a Kshatriya. So Krishna ran away from the battle. And he and Balaram ran on top of a hill that was 90 miles high. That's pretty high. That's about 120, 130 kilometers high. You ever seen a hill that high? I don't think so. I hope not. And then he jumped. Then Jarasandha set fire to the hill. Did you know that? And Krishna and Balaram jumped off the hill, and they ran to where?
Dwarka.
And they transported all the people of Mathura through the air, all the way to Dwarka. It's nice, isn't it? And what was the name of Krishna's assembly house in Dwarka? Anyone remember? It was a test today.
Just
Sudharma Assembly House.
Sudharma.
It's interesting.
Why did they have assembly house?
Because if you're in charge of a government, you have a place to meet, right?
Awesome.
Like, why do you have to have a temple?
To associate with others.
Yeah, so politicians also need a place to associate with each other.
Like
a
parliament house.
Assembly house, same thing. So, anyway, so these are Krishna's different qualities: fame, strength, renunciation,
cleanliness.
That's a new one that I haven't heard before.
I'm just guessing.
So that's one reason we know that Krishna is God, because he exhibits these qualities to the fullness. Another reason given in the Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter. Have you memorized the 10th chapter?
No.
Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. Ahostram. Very nice.
Arjuna says that.
So, Arjuna says, Krishna, you're the Supreme Brahman, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, the Supreme Abode, the Supreme Pure. And then he says, how do I know this? Sita, Devala, and Vyas know it. So that's how we know Krishna's God. Because all the great sages say this. These are all different reasons. So how do we know that Krishna consciousness is real? Is another question. You don't know? Because we... It's eternal. I know it's eternal. But we know it's real because we see someone like Srila Prabhupada doing miracles. And we know it's real because we see the effects of performing devotional service. When you chant, you become happy. You become relieved from all the stress. You become spiritualized. Just like you see all these devotees before they became devotees. Guess what they were? Like hippies or meat eaters and all these other stuff. And then they became saints by performing devotional service. So that's another reason. So here in this verse, it talks about Krishna's uncommon activities or many uncommon and wonderful pastimes. So, of course, if we examine and how we'll become attracted to them. So if we examine them, these pastimes, they're extremely attractive, like Krishna appearing as a fish, Krishna appearing as what else? A tortoise, turtle. Krishna appearing as half-man, half-lion. Krishna appearing as Lord Ramchandra. Krishna appearing as Mohini Murti. Krishna appearing as Varaha. Isn't it amazing? So these are all very attractive features. And Krishna appearing, as I mentioned before, in every species of life. And then, to me, the most attractive feature of Krishna is his intimate dealings with his devotees. Because, you know, if you talk about attractiveness, if you just talk about the big things Krishna does, like creating the material world or appearing in these different species of life, to me the most attractive thing is how Krishna reacts intimately with his devotees. I mean, the example is given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya came in touch with a devotee who was illiterate. You know what illiterate means? That means he couldn't read, couldn't write, and couldn't even speak too well.
He still read the Bhagavad Gita.
And why did Lord Chaitanya say he was the real knower of the Bhagavad Gita?
Because he read it every day, though he was illiterate.
More than that. Yeah, he read it every day because he was following the order of his guru. But why was he the real knower? Does anyone know the story?
He was feeling it.
He was what?
He went into ecstasy.
There's more. Why was he going into ecstasy?
Because he could actually feel that Krishna.
He actually thought Krishna was saying
A little more than that. Why was he in ecstasy when he read the Bible? Why was he shaking in ecstasy, crying, rolling on the ground and everything
Krishna
like that?
Was the Trinity.
Yes, you got it. Because God had assumed the position as a servant of his devotee. Isn't that amazing? I mean, do you hear about that in any other religion? That God drives your car. I mean, here I'm very fortunate in Sydney because I have a doctor who drives my car. Govardhan's good too. So I have Govardhan who drives my car, a great devotee, and I have a doctor. Who else has a doctor as a chauffeur? You ever heard about that? But if one has God, imagine one day I come here to Sydney and Krishna comes off the altar and says, I'm going to drive you around today, Maharaj, to see all the varieties of people. Oh my God, she said. That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You go to people's houses and I say, you know, I'd like to introduce you to my driver. It's a supreme personality of Godhead.
I'll ask a thousand questions if you can.
I know. And so that's what happened with Krishna and Arjuna. That Arjuna actually had Krishna as his chauffeur, or his sarathi, he's called Partha Sarathi. And actually Krishna's worshipped in the most intimate way as Partha Sarathi, in terms of his devotees. Just like we see, the best names of Krishna are in relationship to devotees, like Nanda Nandana. What's another name? Yashoda Nandana, like that. And Radha Raman. In fact, the
Gopinath.
So in fact, the Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra is Radha Ramana Hari. Did you know that? That's one of the meanings. Of course, it's also Balaram. It's also Lord Ramchandra. But Radha Ramana Hari, just like we have the song Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jai. You know that song? Gopala Jai Jai. So Krishna loves that. So anyway, just thinking of Krishna driving his devotee's chariot, or Krishna becoming a little baby and being dependent on his mother, you know, his mother feeding him. Could you imagine? I mean, just imagine the scenario in your mind of holding little baby Krishna like this and say, you know, rockabye Krishna on the treetop, etc. And telling Krishna stories. Just like when you were young, did your parents tell you stories?
Yes.
When you... They would sit on your bed and say, let me tell you a bedtime story.
It was
a
Krishna story.
Yeah, that's a bedtime story.
My dad obviously stayed in his bed and told the stories.
All right, he stayed in his bed and told the story. But at least they told you bedtime stories. Even when I was young, my parents didn't tell me Krishna stories. They told me, like, Goldilocks and Little Red Riding Hood.
Goldilocks.
And different stories. But you're very fortunate. You had Krishna stories. So when Krishna was taking rest, his mother would tell him Ram stories. Did you know that? His mother would say, my little baby, let me tell you a story about God. And he was God. And she said, once upon a time, there was this great personality named Lord Ramchandra. And Lord Ramchandra, he was fighting this demon named
Ravana.
And when Krishna heard Mother Yashoda telling that story, he regained his memory of that pastime. Because under Yogamaya, Krishna forgets whatever he did in the past, especially in Vrindavan. And then he jumps up on his bed and makes believe he has a bow and says, let me kill that demon! I'll kill him! And Yashodamai was thinking, wow, what's happening with my kid? You know, he's enacting the pastime. So you see, isn't that wonderful that you can be Krishna's mother and just hold him like this? You know, just like you see the little baby sometimes, you know, you put them on your shoulder and go, you burp them sometimes. Sometimes, of course, when they burp, something else comes out, as I mentioned before. Last night it happened in the airport, but not to me, but the mother. Anyway, so can you imagine doing that with Krishna? Like you see these little babies here? And then, you know, Krishna was born in your family, you'd have to take a picture every year of Krishna growing up. Yeah, growing up. And he goes through different ages. You have to listen. He goes through different ages. You know, he has baby age and then a little older and little, and finally adolescence. That means like 16 years old when he dances with the gopis. Kishore is his name. That means Krishna and Radharani. And then even more intimate than that is when Krishna becomes someone's boyfriend. I mean, like Radharani's boyfriend, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty good. If someone says, you know, who's your boyfriend? Krishna. I'm going steady, like they say in the school, I'm going steady with Krishna. Or even more, is if someone's sneaking out in the middle of the night to join Krishna in the rasa dance. So this, to me, and to the great saintly persons, this is actually the most attractive feature of Krishna. I mean, the amazing things he does in terms of like lifting Govardhan Hill are all very wonderful, but even more amazing is how God steps down from his position and relates intimately with his devotees and even gets chastised by them, like Mother Yashoda running. Can you imagine running after God with a stick to beat him? Or Radharani having her friends beat Krishna, like I told that story about when there was a sacrifice being done in Govindakund. Krishna and his coward boys stopped the gopis and said, we want to tax you because you're taking these milk products to the sacrifice, so we're going to tax you for all of these milk products. And also Krishna said to Radharani, we're going to tax you for all the beautiful features of your body. He said, for your ears, you have to pay so many gold coins, for your beautiful eyes. It's very romantic. Husbands should say these to the wives, you know, that your eyes are like whatever, stars or whatever. And so Krishna was being very romantic, but the gopis were just getting angry. And eventually it was settled that the gopis would come back the next day to pay the taxes. And the gopis came back and overpowered the coward boys, and they tied Krishna. Remember the story?
Yeah.
They tied Krishna and the coward boys to the trees, and they were hitting them. Can you imagine that?
No, that was in Varshanam.
No, that was in Govardhan. That was Dhani Nibartanakund. Remember that story? Dhani Nibartanakund. I mean, many places, Krishna and the coward boys get hit by sticks by the gopis. And then Radharani's getting angry. So you see Radharani's getting angry with Krishna. This is the most wonderful thing, isn't it? Of course, if you get angry with God, you're finished. Like if you go in front of Gopinath and say, I'm angry with you, you know, you're not doing what I want you to do. You may get chastised. But this is so attractive when you hear about it. Like when I heard about Krishna feeding butter to the monkeys and stealing the butter, the mind naturally becomes attracted. And when the mind naturally becomes attracted, the mind is no longer attracted to anything in this world. So, okay. So I think that's all we'll talk about this morning. So any questions or comments? No questions? This is the last morning, and anyone is watching on
India. Maharaj, when the Krishna's pastime is going on in the in this material planet,
yeah.
Then there are innumerable number of universes, so his pastime is still continuing other things.
Yes.
So Krishna here is one material, one universe. Does he know what's happening in another one, or doesn't
want? Well, through the action of Yoga Maya, see Krishna. It's interesting, Krishna and his various incarnations, that's why we say Krishna is inconceivable. That in one sense, you can say that, you know, the Mahavishnu is aware of each and every one. I mean, if you think about it, it's really inconceivable. How Mahavishnu is aware of what's happening in the universe. But then Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, Krishna, under the influence of Yoga Maya, is not aware, is not conscious of what's happening elsewhere in other universes.
So is he affected by the Yoga Maya?
Yes. Krishna voluntarily puts himself under Yoga Maya. So simultaneously you have Krishna, because there's only one God. Simultaneously you have Krishna as the Mahavishnu or as the Shiradakshi Vishnu, aware of everything. And then you have Krishna in his original form, not aware of everything because he's under the influence of Yoga Maya. And he's the same person. Isn't that amazing? If you think about it. Because each and every one of Krishna's expansions can act independently, and they're the same person. Like Prabhupada commented that the yogis, they could do, 9 expansions, and they're like television images. In other words, if you've ever gone to a store where they sell a lot of televisions, where's he going?
He has to go, and he's got an excursion for that.
Okay, high five. Okay, bye-bye. Who's going to take him? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll keep in touch. Write to me if you have any questions. So, anyway, getting back to the point. She has to go too, whatever. Okay, Haribol. So, getting back to the point is that yogi can have like 9 television expansions. Television expansions means that if you've ever gone into a television store where they sell a lot of televisions, they're all playing the same image. You ever see that? Where they're selling television. That's a like when someone like Shabari Muni or someone else expands themselves. But with Krishna, each and every expansion is doing something different and thinking something different. Like Krishna had 16,108 wives, right? And who was going house to house?
Narada Muni.
Narada Muni. Govardhan was driving him around house to house. No, not really. He was Narada Muni on his own power. He doesn't need a driver. He can float in the air. So he's going house to house. In each and every house, what was happening? Something different. One place he was playing with his children. Another place he was talking to his wife. Another place doing this. And there's 16,000 different things simultaneously. That's called multitasking. Can we multitask very well? No. For example, when I'm talking on the phone with someone, I try to use my computer at the same time and do my email. So, and the person is hearing like long delays. You know, the person will say something to me, what do you think, Maharaj, about this? And then 5 seconds later, I reply.
Oh.
And they said, are you doing something at the same time? No, I'm not doing anything. I'm just thinking deeply about what you said. You ever had that experience? You know, that your mind is somewhere else when you're talking to somewhere else. Because you can't really multitask. I mean, women are better at doing it than men. Because a woman can talk on the phone at the same time, cook the dinner, same time change the diapers of the deities, same time make the bed in the house. I mean, I don't know how the ladies do it. They have like several arms. But isn't it? But the men, because there's more interconnections between the two hemispheres of the brain for the ladies. They're more intelligent than the men. Did you know that? Because they have more interconnections. So, but still, they really can't multitask, because as soon as you put your attention on one thing, you delay the response on something else. Whereas Krishna is like doing this amazing multitasking, like with unlimited things, every atom, all its pastimes in all the different universes, all the incarnations. I mean, at the same time, he's killing Hiranyakashipu somewhere, he's dancing with the gopis somewhere, he's drinking milk from Mother Yashoda somewhere else, he's creating the universes simultaneously with the Mahavishnu. It's pretty far out, if you think about it. And then, when he's in Vrindavan, he's forgetting it all. Which is kind of like, what? What's happening here? Therefore, we say that Krishna is inconceivable, achincha. Achincha means it can't be conceived about God. No one can know God. And even when he tries to understand himself, he gets bewildered. Because you have Anantashesha, you know, even what to speak of ourselves. So you have, you know, so Anantashesha is trying his best to understand with his unlimited head. Anantashesha, Ananta means unlimited. And he gets bewildered. And Krishna's glories, amazing stuff, expands unlimitedly at every unlimited moment. And that's God. And so therefore, when these tiny philosophers, as Prabhupada would say, teeny, that's how Prabhupada pronounced tiny. How do you pronounce tiny? You pronounce it teeny?
No, tiny.
Tiny, yeah. But Prabhupada, it's interesting how Prabhupada would pronounce things in his, he said teeny philosophers. And these teeny philosophers are trying to understand God through mental speculation. It's described you can't even go to the edge of the universe if you travel at the speed of the mind. But they're trying to understand something that's unlimitedly greater than the universe. So that's Krishna. So it's just like, wow. So the most we can do is love God. And ultimately we can't really understand him beyond a certain point. We can understand that, you know, he loves us, he's compassionate, he's beautiful, he's attractive, he's amazing, but, you know, really, unlimited, no, we can't understand him completely. Or even 0.1%, we can't understand Krishna or God. If we could, he wouldn't be God. That's the meaning of God. Whereas in the Christian world, or in the modern world, they try to redefine God, even if they believe in God. They take away some of his omnipotence, they take away some of his omnipresence, they take away some of his compassion. You know, they actually limit God. Whereas we're the only ones with an unlimited conception or an inconceivable conception of God. Everybody else, yeah, or they even take away his name. You're not allowed to chant God's name. Actually, in the it's interesting, in the Jewish tradition, they're not even allowed to write or speak the name of God. Did you know that? They're not allowed to. There was an interesting video about that, how they were stoning someone who said the name of God, and they changed that into an ISKCON video. But anyway, you're not even allowed to say, you just say, he who is. You know, but when you have in the Bible, like, Moses asked, who are you? He said, I am that I am. You remember that? No one remembers that. I am that I am. You know, that's a pretty good definition. I am that I am. But we say, Krishna is God. And we know that, and he's the original aspect of God, original Supreme Personality of God. And anyway, it's so overwhelming and bewildering that you have to surrender to him. So any other questions? Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. While Krishna has expanded himself in various universes in different incarnations, up in Goloka Vrindavan, he is still the 16-year-old.
Yeah, he's always 16 years old in Goloka Vrindavan. And he's forgetting about what he's doing with all these universes. Otherwise, he couldn't have fun. Just like if I want to have fun, I have to forget all my GBC duties. Because if I'm thinking, you know, in this temple, this crazy thing is going on. In that temple, they're in debt. There's no pujaris in that temple. So I have to really just like, you know, watch the Mahabharata or something like that.
So how come he knows that at that time he needs to come to earth for the Krishna Lila?
Well, Lord Brahma reminds him. No, because it's the form of, the Vishnu form is reminded.
Oh, yes, that's looking after all that.
See, the Vishnu form, like you have Lord Brahma and the demigods, they go to the shore of the ocean of milk and they meditate, and then they hear that's the Shiradakshaya Vishnu who lives in the Shveta Dvipa, you know, the island, the white island, Shveta Dvipa. Shveta means white and Dvipa means island. And then he's reminded, you know, that we got all these problems here, you know. So generally when you have an incarnation of God, you have someone reminding him it's time to come down, you know. And even with Hiranyakashipu, the demigods were praying to the Lord, you know, you got to do something about this. So the demigods, they do pray to the Narayan aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
One is to ask,
eh? Yeah, they usually ask. They're asking, you know, help. Now Krishna wants them to ask, he's not going to come down before they ask, generally, because he wants them to take shelter of him. I mean, one of the purposes of having all these demons is it scares the bejesus out of the demigods. You heard that expression? Bejesus scares the bejesus. It scares the, you know, you could say it scares the hell out of the demigods. So they take shelter of Krishna. You know, it puts him in a fearful position. Just like one time I was driving many years ago with one of my godbrothers, he was driving. And he's a bad driver. And I was just like chanting very sincerely the whole time. And he said, I'm doing this just to help you chant Hare Krishna purely. I said, please don't help me in this way, you know. And just like, or if you're in India, even better than that is like when you're going to Mayapur, you chant Hare Krishna very sincerely, because each time the car is going, boom, you say, Krishna, help! Like that. And the devotees who've been with me, you know, driving, know that whenever there's like some dangerous situation, I always go when I'm chanting, Hare Krishna! Isn't it when they go through a red light and the speed and the camera goes off, choo, down through a red light, go, Hare Krishna! And then, you know, the other day we were driving, I forget it was who. Oh, it was Pranath, and he went through a stop sign.
Through?
Yeah, I said, there was a stop sign there, you know, he's supposed to stop. He said, really? I didn't notice it. I said, thank God there wasn't any other cars. You know, just sometimes people don't notice these stop signs. And so I went, Hare Krishna! So the demigods, too, Krishna does that, so the demigods will take shelter of him. Krishna puts them in a fearful position. Just like Draupadi being disrobed, or the Pandavas, and the story I told the other day about Durvasa Muni coming to the Pandavas when they didn't have any more food. So that's another reason why Krishna wants to wait until there's a request.
Just like demigods. Children, they go to their
parents. Yeah. So the demigods are like that. And then when Krishna gets a request, he processes it. sends it through the secretary, you know. And then, not really. And then Krishna comes down. But you see, it's usually, I mean, for all the instances I can think of, there have been requests when Krishna incarnates. They have to remind Krishna. But Krishna already knows, obviously, in the form of Lord Vishnu. But Krishna, as the original form in Vrindavan, he's forgetting all this stuff. I mean, it's like when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he had to be reminded that he had to go to Mathura to do his duty. Who came to remind him?
Akrura.
Akrura said, look, you know, you come down on the earth planet to do this. You know, Parichanaya, he preached Bhagavad Gita to Krishna. Parichanaya sadunam vinishaya chatushkutam, you know. And your poor parents have been harassed by who? Kamsa. They're in prison. And, you know, you got to do something about this. And Krishna was reminded. But then he forgot when he was leaving Vrindavan. The gopis attracted him off the chariot. This is a whole story told by Srila Rupa Goswami. That actually he left the chariot. He jumped off the chariot to join the gopis.
Oh my God.
Which is interesting. And then Balaram had to go after him and said, Balaram said, you know, this is, you know, forgetting your duty, come back. And so he left the gopis and jumped back on the chariot. So you see instances of this where Krishna just forgets what his duty is. Or when he was being surrounded by the coils of the Kaliyanag, Balaram had to tell him, he said, you're killing your devotees, you know, just remember who you are, you know. It's almost like the Hanuman story, where Hanuman was told, you have to remember you're very powerful. Because Hanuman was cursed to forget his power. He was reminded by Jambavan, remember that? Before he crossed the ocean. So Krishna also, you know, he forgets he's God. And, or even he looks at when his friends are being swallowed by the Agasura demon, and he just gets bewildered and worried, and then somehow or other he gets a little memory back. Oh yeah, I'm God, I can take care of this. So that's interesting, isn't it? Yogamaya, because you can't enjoy unless you forget. If you're all-powerful, you can't enjoy unless you forget your all-powerful nature. I mean, how can you enjoy? What is the suspense? What is the mystery? You know, if the gopis don't want to see Krishna, and Krishna thinks, I'm God, I'm in their hearts, I can get them to do whatever I want. You know, what's the enjoyment there? I can make them happy with me instead of angry with me. Like he did with the Yajnik Brahmanas. I told that story the other day. The Yajnik Brahmanas, wives went to bring food to Krishna, and they were worried about going back because they thought that their husbands would be angry with them. And Krishna said, don't worry, I'll make sure that they like you. So Krishna in their hearts actually changed their kind. So if Krishna reminds himself that he's God, he can actually just do mystic tricks without having to get chastised by the gopis or something like that. So Krishna does forget. And that's so amazing about God. I mean, what other religion do you find that in that information that God causes himself to forget? He goes, voluntarily puts himself under the influence of Yogamaya so he can enjoy. In the Christian religion, any other religion, God is never the supreme enjoyer. He's the best, he's the supreme boss. You know, he just decides everything, sits on the throne. But you never depict him as a supreme enjoyer, enjoying relationships, you know, hanging out with his friends, or forgetting that he's God, while simultaneously he remembers he's God in a different form, you know, in an incarnation or an expansion. If you actually think about it, it's so amazing.
During the rasas.
Yeah, during the rasas, he forgets that he's God. Obviously, you have to forget he's God. And then as Vishnu at the same time, he's remembering he's God, which is it's too much for me to understand, or anybody to understand. Isn't that amazing? And we should be very proud of our philosophy because it is so perfect in explaining, you know, the nature of God in terms of being unlimited. So, and to me, this is the most attractive feature of God, that God is intimate with his devotees. I mean, I wouldn't want to go back to God if all I could do is just pray to God all day long. You know, what's the happiness there? I'd rather be here with my toys. Isn't it? But if you go back to God and you can just like run with God and run with Krishna in the fields or dance with him or take prasadam with him, wouldn't that be nice to sit down with Krishna and take prasadam? And Krishna's looking at everybody. Everybody's thinking Krishna's just looking at me, you know, the individual. But and there's millions and unlimited numbers of coward boys, and everyone's thinking Krishna's just looking at me with love. Amazing. Who can understand? So, any other questions or comments?
Second slok,
Chaturvidha,
yeah. Okay. What are they asking Krishna for certain benefit? In some senses, they get some devotional benefit?
Yeah. Yeah, Chaturvidha-Bhajanti-Janah-Sukritino Arjuna, that he considers them to be pious. Sukritino, that's meritorious, of course. Kriti means meritorious. Sukriti means very meritorious. So, yes, because whatever way you come in contact with Krishna, akama sarva kama moksha kama daradi tuvrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param, you get purified. Like you come in touch with fire, it doesn't matter what your motive is. You know, your motive may be just to warm your hands, or your motive may be to cook, or your motive may be just to play with fire. My mother stopped me from doing that by burning my hands. But anyway, so whatever your motive is, you get heated up, right? So with the same thing with Krishna. Krishna said, Prabhupada says the same thing. Whatever your motive is, when you come in contact with Krishna, you get purified. even what's that one story? I forget all the details. Someone went to Vrindavan because they thought they heard there was a boy there with a lot of jewels. So someone may remember that story. And their idea was to steal from him. And then, I don't remember the details, but in any case, they went to steal from Krishna. And ultimately, after they got to Vrindavan and came in contact with Krishna, what happened? They forgot about the jewels and they fell in love with Krishna. You remember the story? Vaguely, I just remember some details. But that's the essence of the story, is they came to steal from Krishna and they became so attracted to Krishna, they forgot about the stealing. So that's the point, that however we come in contact with Krishna through these desires, the desires we have, ultimately we get purified. Like they gave the example of Dhruva Maharaj last night. As long as it's not something like what would be a bad one? Offending Vaishnavas. As long as we don't mix it with offenses against Vaishnavas, we get purified. Even if you hate Krishna, there's some purification there. There's purification. And that's how pure Krishna is.
Well, is it just like you asking something and he gives you back? It's not like that. It's just like you're depositing in the bank and then withdrawing and there is nothing left?
It's a business exchange, like Prahlad Maharaj said. I'm not a businessman. So it's not a high level of devotional service. But still, one is coming in contact with Krishna. Just like if you go to the bank and to deposit money to later on get it out, but the bank teller happens to be Krishna. Or no, let's not to say Krishna. But let's say you go to the bank to deposit money and take it out, and there's a beautiful girl who's a bank teller, and you fall in love with her. That's a good example. You go with the intention of just putting your own money and taking it out, but you end up falling in love with the bank teller and getting married to her later on. So that's... Actually, I like that example. I'll use it in the future. I just came up with it. I mean, it just came up out of my mind. So it's the same thing, you know, you go to Krishna for some ulterior motive, but you fall in love with him because he's so beautiful. You hear about him and you think, wow, he's amazing. I mean, just like even people go to the movies and watch some superhero and they fall in love with him. I mean, one disciple is probably watching right now. He sees superheroes and he starts dressing up like them. He has a Spider-Man outfit, Spider-Man phone.
He assumes that he needs.
Yeah, yeah, he becomes a role model. So he goes to the movies to enjoy, but ultimately he becomes attached to the person who is performing wonderful activities, you know, manifesting spider webs from his hands. So you can imagine Krishna. Whatever motive you go to Krishna for, I mean, he's so attractive, you just fall in love with him. That may not be your intention, but it happens, ultimately, like with Dhruva Maharaj. So Krishna calls these people Sukritina. He says they're performing meritorious acts. And ultimately, they come to Krishna. They become devotees of Krishna. I mean, we all came for various ulterior motives. I mean, we came because we were in distress, wanted prasadam. We came because we wanted knowledge. I mean, one of the big things for me is I wanted knowledge. You know, I wanted to find out what life was all about. And now that I know basically what life is all about, now I want to love Krishna. So my desires changed. When I first joined the movement, I wanted liberation also. I told everybody the story that I pray to Krishna to kill me every day. I go to sleep, you know, most people go to sleep, please God protect me while I'm sleeping. I said, please God kill me while I'm sleeping. So I go back to Godhead, you know, I want to get out of the material world. But that desire is not there anymore. It got purified. And in order to go back to Godhead while I was sleeping, I would sleep with my bee bag in my hand. I told you that story, right?
Yeah.
I would chant myself to sleep every night, Hare Krishna, please kill me, Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 I want to die tonight. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I wasn't depressed. I mean, I just wanted to go get out of the material world. But now I don't have that desire. Now I just want to serve Prabhupada life after life. So it becomes purified. You become changed.
It's sort of just like you connect to Krishna and somehow the other.
Somehow or other connect to Krishna. That's all. We want people to connect to Krishna. You can trick them. You give them prasadam and they're connected to Krishna. And then they become attracted. I mean, I remember the first time I ate cauliflower pakoras cooked in ghee. I always mention that because that's what I remember. I mean, I was so attracted. Wow. I've never tasted anything like this before. Prabhupada said that's how to make devotees. One of the reasons we're not making devotees is we're not cooking in ghee. I mean, I guarantee if you cook for Western people or even people in ghee and you make it nicely, they won't forget. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you want to keep a servant, you feed him basmati rice with ghee on it. Because ghee has a very special taste. I mean, and now people from India have this prejudice against ghee. Somehow they think it's bad for them, isn't it? I mean, it's oh, I want to cook with oil, like sunflower oil, or even canola oil, which is a complete GMO oil. You know, healthy oil.
Which is better, to cook in ghee or to cook in sunflower oil?
Ghee.
Ghee.
Deep frying. Well, you want to minimize what you deep fry. So when you're dealing with young people like I was.
Even daily cooking?
Yeah, you cook with a little. That's what Prabhupada always cooked. The Prabhupada taught us how to cook. I mean, I have faith in what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada's taught us how to cook. I mean, I learned from someone who learned from Prabhupada how to cook. And you make a chance with ghee. I mean, you don't use a lot of ghee.
Yes.
I mean, the only preparation that uses a lot of ghee is eggplant.
Eggplant
is vegan. So eggplant is like a little sponge. It soaks up a lot of ghee. But we used to love it. We used to make eggplant sandwiches.
Oh, my God.
We would fry the two pieces of eggplant and bread them. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, they're selling shops now.
Yeah. And fry them in ghee. And these were soaked in ghee. And in between, we put some vegetable. It was also cooked in ghee. And then make those sandwiches. We were in ecstasy.
So looking familiar.
You know, there's, you know, big pieces of eggplant. You know, you cut them round like that. And you make sandwiches. It was delicious. I mean, I don't eat like that now because, you know, I'm getting older. But it's that was one of the most attractive features in our movement for people. The tongue, because the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. People are controlled by the tongue. So even if someone comes because the prasadam is tasty, they'll get purified. Prabhupada said, one who just eats a simply wonderful, that's a sweet ball, will come to the temple and eventually become a devotee. And said that, and he'll become simply wonderful, Prabhupada said. So even just like a little thing like that, coming in contact inadvertently means accidentally or, you know, trickery or whatever, or putting a book or putting like Gaura-Nitai deities on their bookshelf and chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the holy name, they'll become devotees. It doesn't matter. They don't even have to know what it means. That's how powerful Krishna is. You understand? That's how potent Krishna is. Somehow or other, like Prabhupada said, get them to take a book, get them to chant. Get them, give them prasadam. This is our secret. Prasadam is our secret weapon, but it has to be made in ghee. In order to attract people, because they won't forget the taste, they'll give up, Prabhupada said, they'll give up meat eating. I mean, which is preferable, to take things fried in ghee or meat, eating meat? Because it substitutes, it's animal fat, but it's not bad for you. But it substitutes for the taste which they're getting from the meat. So you want to make people vegetarians, you start that way. And they won't forget the taste. Okay.
There was a person in Philly, he was coming to temple every day for about 8-9 months. Continuously. Then after 9 months or so, we couldn't find him. He stopped coming. Then we found out why he stopped coming. He said because he was wishing, every day he was praying to Krishna, he wanted a son, the wife would give a
the son didn't
son.
Come.
And the daughter came. And so he left it.
Well, he could be like Drupada. This is a funny story from the Mahabharata. Drupada wanted a son too. And he got a daughter. This is, I don't know if any of you know this story. And then even Lord Shiva said, you're going to get a son. And then a daughter came out. And so he, because he had so much faith in Lord Shiva, that he got his daughter married to another girl. You don't know the story? This is very interesting. He got, because he thought, you know, Lord Shiva said it's a boy, it must be a boy. So he got his daughter married to another girl, a princess somewhere. And, you know, on the wedding night, the girl discovered she was married to another girl. This is before the modern age when women married women. So they got married to each other, and then she went back to her father. The father complained, and then the father got ready to attack Drupada's kingdom. Because, you know, my daughter's been insulted. How can you get her married to another girl? And so Drupada's daughter got so upset that she was the cause of the disturbances, she went to the forest. She ran into a yaksha. His name was Stunavara. And the yaksha said, "What's the problem, young girl?" And she explained what it was. And the yaksha said, "No problem. You can have my masculinity, and I'll take your femininity." So the yaksha became a yakshini. And so she went back, and she was a man at that point, of course. I think you know her name. Shikhandi. So she was a man, because previously she was Amba. That was Amba in the previous life. So she was a man, and she came back and said, "Look, I'm a man." And then the girl got married to her, came back and said, "Yes, it's actually a man." They tested it. Actually, they tested him out by sending pretty girls, and he got attracted, so they knew it was a man. And so, but the deal with the yaksha was that Shikhandi would go back to the yaksha and give back his masculinity for the yaksha's femininity, because the yaksha became a yakshini at that time. But in the meantime, Kuvera, who was the head of all the yakshas, went to visit this yaksha, Stunavara. He went to visit him, and the yaksha wouldn't come out of the house because he was embarrassed because he was a lady. And so they asked, and Kuvera said, "You know, why didn't my friend, this yaksha, Stunavara, come out of his house?" And they explained, "Well, he's had a sex change operation. You know, he's a girl." And Kuvera got so upset, he cursed him, "You shall remain a girl for as long as Shikhandi is alive." So that's why Shikhandi was born as a woman, later transformed into a man, and remained a man until he died. And that's why Grandfather Bhishma knew all that, in addition to him being Amba in the past, who had vowed to kill him. You remember the story of Amba in the Mahabharata. And then eventually, of course, that Shikhandi was the cause of Grandfather Bhishma's death, because he was the human he at that point, because he was a man, but previously a woman. And he was the cause of, he was a shield, a human shield that Arjuna used to defend himself against Grandfather Bhishma. And that's the story of Shikhandi. You ever hear that story?
Yeah.
Before? Interesting, isn't it? All right, so any other questions?
In the lecture, previously you said that Krishna knows everything, our past, present, and future.
Yeah.
So if he knows our future, so then it is predestined what we
no,
do.
No, that's a question everybody asks. Yeah. No, Krishna knows, it's not predestined. We make the choice, but Krishna knows what choice we. You know, predestination basically means you're forced to do something or forced to make a choice. But we're going to choose. We're responsible for our choices. It just Krishna knows which way we're going to choose, that's all. He's in knowledge, it doesn't control it. Krishna doesn't control which way we're going to choose. It's not the time factor that controls it. It's just that Krishna has the knowledge. And we can change our choices too, but Krishna also knows we're going to change our choices. I mean, it can be reconciled between the two things. It's interesting. Actually, it's already... Well, it's not that late. Your clock is actually running really fast, isn't it?
No, it's old time.
Oh, that's the old time. I thought we had lost an hour there sometime. You know, just like, wow, what happened? I was having so much fun giving class that, you know, everything's... It's time to run to the airport immediately. Okay, so we have to end. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.